Live, Najat, good morning, and thank you for your time.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. How are you?
I am, you know, it's a tough time, but I think we're all doing our best to be there for one another. This is something you know all about, being there for not only one another, but vulnerable sects of our population. I know that you deal quite a bit with our homeless population here in New York, and I have to imagine those numbers are going to be a little staggering in the coming months as the population deals with a lot of changes. How can we help them and also help ourselves during this tough time?
Oh, thank you for that question. During this time where we have lost a sense of normalcy and faced with many challenges, I think we have to remember the most vulnerable and how this pandemic affects them. As far as us at Services for the Underserved, it's because who we are and what we do, which is working with people who are at risk of homelessness, dealing with mental health and substance use challenges, disconnection with families. We have high needs and high demand. So supporting us in our mission to drive a scalable solution to diminish this societal imbalance, we're giving us donations so we can continue
How can people do that?
Well, they can visit us at info@HUS. They can just visit us at info@HUS.org. And over there, it will give them a sense of who we are, the number of lives that we touch, and how to make a donation to our organization.
So let's hear some of those numbers. And I imagine they're rising. What does services for, how many people do services for the underserved help?
So in a calendar year, last year we have serviced about 37,000 vulnerable New Yorkers that have walked through our doors for different types of services, whether it's for treatment or housing or even stayed in our shelters. So we're talking about 37,000 people who SUS have been able to extend their hand and provide some sort of services to.
Okay, so that is Services for the Underserved. That's SUS.org. What are some of the techniques that you guys are telling your clients during this time to remain calm and stay clean, stay healthy, mind, body, and soul?
Right. So the first thing is to really normalize what people are feeling, acknowledging the sense of collective loss that we're having, and also honor the people that we serve in.
Mm-hmm.
Because as providers, what we do is tell people, we know we need you to connect. We really tell people they need to connect, go out and meet people and build their network. And now, all of a sudden, we are coming back and saying, for us to survive this, we need you to withdraw from those connections and do them in a different manner. So it's really having patience for everyone, for the providers to also understand and embrace this, manage their own anxiety, which we have to create space for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Naming what people are feeling. Once we address that with the providers, then they go out or they make contact with our folks and have the patience to say, guys, this is different. What are you feeling?
Mm.
You don't like telephonic conversation? We understand that. How do we, in this moment, in this reality, where we have very little power over certain things, we have power over what time you want us to connect with you?
Right.
What time would you want us to call you? How long do you want to stay on this call? So I think helping people find a sense of control
And it's also really interesting. I like how you're talking about the fact that a lot of the tools that we've used for mental health is, you know, building a strong support system. But right now, it's complete opposite messaging. But that connection need and support system need remains the same. It's important to note that talking about patience, I hope that people will have the patience with themselves, and also to step outside of one's comfort zone. I know that personally, that has been sort of difficult at times, even considering how I'm used to being on live radio, used to being on video. You're now being asked to be on phone calls and video or whatnot, or change the way that you're doing things. And it is something, especially because routine is so important. For me, having my whole routine, what was the little semblance of routine, is now shaken up. So, absolutely. You know, when you are not someone that is mired with deep roots, having a large local family support system, or you know, these other elements, that can be very disorienting. But I think that it's so important ultimately for all of us to just accept the situation and try our best to step outside of our comfort zones, and then thank ourselves for doing so, and or forgive ourselves for the way in which we may not be showing up for ourselves. And I think the patience element for everyone is just crucial, because right now I am feeling that there is a little bit of collective cabin fever feeling going on. But there are ways, there's new apps, there's House Party and Zoom and FaceTime and all sorts of ways that people are staying in touch. But, as long as you realize it's going to be all right and you make the effort, even sometimes when you might not want to reach out in some way, at another person's agreed schedule. That's what we're doing right now, right?
Yes, that's what we're doing. And I just wanted to underscore that all those methods that you talked about, Zoom and connecting online, for our folks, what we are actually doing more is to find ways for them to do that, because having Wi-Fi, believe it or not, is a privilege for some of our folks, because when you have people of low socioeconomic status who have very limited resources, all those things that are being pushed out have the built-in assumptions that people do know how to work smartphones, the amenities available. So it's also having those challenges to deal with. And then the cabin fever. You have people in the home that you have interpersonal conflicts with, that normally you will go and you will go into your activities. Now it's really addressing what's happening in the home. Now that you're in the home more, how do we help people find a happy medium and cohabitate? Because again, a stable home, cabin fever is fine. Mm-hmm. A home with other stresses already, with cabin fever, is another element we pay attention to be able to address that, so there is some peace in the home and people just really being patient and kind with themselves. And I just want to extend that to other people.
Thank you so much. So that's Najet Nachaba, VP of Recovery and Treatment Services at Services for the Underserved.